Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we will be beginning at the very top of Daf Gimel, but in order to get into the Gemara itself, we just have to recount the last point that was under discussion at the end of our Shiur on the bottom of Daf Beis Amud Beis. We had seen a Tanaic source that featured a mikveh that was measured and found to be lacking in the required amount of water to create ritual purity. Under circumstances like that, there is an element of doubt as to what is the story with everything that had been immersed up till the point that I discovered this lacking. So the first opinion, the opinion of the Rabbanan or the Chachomim, stated that there is tuma lemafreya, that anything that had been assumed to be tohor as a result of the immersion is declared as tomei, whether the mikveh is in a public thoroughfare, a public area, or in a private area. And we might as well add that there is a chiddush over here, that even though in general, according to the rules of Tumah, we say Sofek Tumah Birshus HaRabim is Tahor, here the Chachamim rule stringently, and we will see more about this in today's Gemara. In addition to the Shita of the Chachamim, we also saw Rabbi Shimon that made this distinction, that if it's a mikveh in a public area, so it's called, it's Sofek Tumah Birshus HaRabim is Tahor, that anything that had been immersed up till this point is considered tohar, and anything that it may have contacted will remain tohar. However, if it's in a private area, Rishus HaYochid, so we saw Rabbi Shimon use the expression toilin. Toilin means that we won't burn the items that had been in contact with elements that were immersed, but we will leave them aside, not eat them, nor burn them. Toilin will leave them in a state of suspension until they rot and decay on their own. So we now continue with the Gemara at the top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Ushnehem lo lomduha elo misoita. The Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon respectively learned their halachas from the laws applying to sota. The case of sota is a woman who is married and suspect of immoral behavior, intimacy with another man. The Torah refers to her as Tomei, so that even though by in a strict sense, when we speak about ritual purity and impurity, you might think that that's not applicable to the case of matters of morality, but the Torah nevertheless refers to the Sota as a woman who is Nitme'a, who is Tme'a. So the framework of the laws of Tumah are learned from Sota. It just so happens that in this case we have a machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon how to derive the halachas from Sota. So that's how our Gemara continues, where you can see we've featured with a double underline with dots in them to highlight the points in the Gemara that the Shitas of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon are introduced, Shitas and their explanations. So our marking also indicates that we have a long point. You notice opposite the first line of the Gemara, there's an encircled nun on the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. There's an encircled nun with a descending vertical dashed line. And this will take you down quite a few lines of Gemara, so it's one point in which we feature the Hesber, the explanation of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara continues. Rabbanan Safri, the Rabbanan who said that in the case of the mikveh, whether it be in a private domain or a public domain, it is the anything that had been immersed in this mikveh is considered tomei. We say ki sota, like sota, ma sota sofei ki. Mind you, the case of sota is an issue of doubt. In other words, sota is a woman, a married woman, suspect, and we emphasize the word suspect of immorality. So it's really a matter of doubt there. Ve'asa kivadai, and yet the Torah views her as definitely tamei'a. And practically speaking, that means she is forbidden to her husband until she goes through the drinking process that is delineated in Parsha Sota that takes place in the Beis Hamikdash. But until that point, she is considered vadai, a case of certain prohibition. Hochanami, so too with our case and the mikveh. Sofek, true, it's a matter of sofek, when did the mikveh become deficient in water quantity? And nevertheless, we have a sofek, ve'asua kevadai, and we will treat it though as vadai lacking, and hence things immersed in there will be vadai temeim. The Gemara asks, e misota emo kisota, if you're really learning from sota, then go all the way. Ma sota b'shus harabim tohor, hocha nami b'shus harabim tohor, just like sota, sota is a case of immorality which is conducted in private. You don't have a case of sota in public. So just like sota in public, so to speak, is tor, there is no case of sota is a function of a married woman going in yichud, in privacy, with another man, and that's certainly not the case when you're in a public area. So sota in Rishus Rabbim is tor, is okay. Hochanami Rishus Rabbim tor, so too in the case of the mikveh. You should declare the things immersed in the mikveh that's in a public area as being tohor. The Gemara says, Hochi hashto, how can you make this comparison? Hosam, in the case of sota mishum stira, who? The whole topic is, stira is in private, in yichud. Ustira b'shus rabim lekon, the phenomenon of being in private is the antithesis of a public area. So therefore the case of sota can't even come about in a public area. Hocha, however, in the case of the mikveh, mishum choserhu, the issue is deficient water quantity. Mali choser b'shus harabim, mali choser b'shus hayochid. What difference does it make where the mikveh is when our only consideration is water quantity? V'chitema ha kol sofek tumah b'shus harabim tor. You might ask, well, but isn't there a rule that every doubt concerning tumah, when it arises in a public area, we rule it to be tor? So why not over here? Why do you say tome? Answer, kevadiko tarti lureusa, since there are two strikes against the mikveh. What are the two strikes against it? What are the two weakening factors? One is that things that were immersed were becheskas, they had a status of being tome. And the second point is that the mikveh we see is deficient. So you have two strikes against tahara. So kevadai tumah domi, it's therefore viewed as definite tumah. And that is the explanation for the Rabbonan, and with the emphasis on the Shitas Rabbonan with regard to a mikveh even in Rishus HaRabim. For Rabbi Shimon Sovar, ki sota. Now we turn to Rabbi Shimon, says we learn likewise from sota. Ma sota b'rishus rabim tor, just like sota in a public area is okay, meaning there is no suspicion because she isn't going into private. Hocha nami, so too in a mikveh b'rishus rabim tor. We will derive, as we said before, the laws of mikveh from the laws of sota, and in a b'rishus rabim there will be no problem. If you're in fact learning from sota, then go all the way and learn from sota. Ma sota b'rishus hayochid temei avadai. Hocha nami b'rishus hayochid temei avadai. Just like by sota, you see, we know that she is definitely asura, definitely forbidden to her husband. And hence, that's the term temei avadai, definitely problematic or definitely forbidden. So too, with regard to our mikveh in a pub, in a private area, tamei avadai. Why does Rabbi Shimon say toilin? Toilin was is a case of is the method that we treat matters of Tara when you have a suffix. So the question is, why does Rabbi Shimon say toilin, leave it aside, when you could say tamei avadai, like we say by sota, and then burn the taharos that had been dependent on this mikveh immersion? The Gemara responds, hochi hashta, how can you make such a comparison? Hasam, in the case of sota, yesh raglayim ledavar. There is great suspicion. Literally, there is legs to the matter, but that means there's already a smoking gun, so to speak. There's already suspicious grounds that lead us to the direction of prohibition. What is that? Share kino law v'nisra. The husband had warned his wife not to be in private with a particular man. V'nisra, and she went into private. We have witnesses for her being in private with another man. So therefore, you've got reason for declaring the sota in the case of Rishus Yochid as being prohibited. Hocha, my raglaim ledavriko. What's the suspicion that you have here in the case of the mikveh? Iboyesemo, another approach with regard to Rabbi Shimon. Now, we just want to note, by way of our markings, we had a long point which said both of them, both Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon, learned from Sota. And at this point in the Gemara, then we completed that point. However, the Ibois Emo is taking the Ibois Emo means another approach. If you prefer, you can say thusly, and the following is a case where we don't learn mikvah from Sota. Hence, this is already a new approach. And that's why our long point ended over here. However, we have little numbers indicating numbers with regard to Hesber and explanation of Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So the first Hesber for Rabbi Shimon, who said in Rishus HaRabim Tor, Rishus HaYochid Toilin, that is based on Sota. Number two, which is not based on Sota, is that which follows. Iboy Esemo, Hainu Taimo de Rabbi Shimon. For the following reason, Rabbi Shimon declares the mikveh in Rishus HaRabim Tor. Gomar, Soif Tumo Mitchilas Tumo. Sof Tumo means end of Tumo, which is a reference to immersion in mikveh. So we learn the approach to immersion in mikveh, which is called Soif Tumo Mitchilas Tumo. Ma Tchilas Tumo. Tchilas Tumo is with the initial contracting of the Tumo. So that just like at the beginning, Ma Tchilas Tumo, Sofik Noga, Sofik Lo Noga. If there is a doubt as to whether someone had contact with, let us say, a source of tuma, we say Birshus HaRabim Tohor, in a public area, we say that the suffix will be Tohor. If there's a matter of doubt, it's Tohor. Af Soif Tuma, suffix Toval, suffix Lo Toval, Birshus HaRabim Tohor. So if there's a matter of doubt in the Rishus HaRabim, we will declare it Tohor. So once again, if there's a matter of doubt whether there was initial contact with the Tumah and you're dealing with a public area, we declare the person be Tumah free, he's Tohor. So too, when it comes to the end of Tumah, which is the issue of the immersion in the mikveh, we will say if there's a matter of doubt and you're in a public area, we will declare him Tohor. Rabbonan, the Rabbonan's response, Ochi Hashto, how can you compare? Hasam, in the case of Sofek Noga, Sofek Lo Noga, with regard to someone made touching a source of Tuma, Gavra Becheskas Tahara Koi, the person was enjoying a status of Tahara. So you're coming with a Sofek, maybe he touched the source of Tuma, maybe not. You're trying to upset his status, his known status, with a doubt. So a suffix doesn't undo a status. Misveika lo machtinon le lutuma. Out of a matter of doubt, we won't descend him into the realm of tuma. We won't allow him to become tamei. Hocha, in the case of the mikveh, gavro becheskes tamei akoi. The person that which needed immersion because it had a status of tuma. V'sveika lo mafkinon le mitumaso. But as a result of a safek, we're not going to be able to extricate him from the realm of tumah. So, therefore, the Rabbanan say, you can't learn the sof tumah from tchilas tumah. In the case of tchilas tumah, the person enjoyed a cheskas tara. In the case of sof tumah, the person is in a state of cheskas tumah. So to undo a cheskas tumah, you can't undo that with a matter that is in doubt. Namely, maybe the mikvah was complete. You can see now with our markings that the bracketed section ends over here. And the reason we had this was because we were really involved in a broad discussion before we got to the bracketed section at the end of our previous year, where we had been raising questions on the approach of particularly of Shammai, even though the first question, the first diamond that we introduced was focused against Hillel as well. But in looking at Shitas Shammai that we saw in the Mishnah with regard to a woman that had a blood sighting, and Shammai said, Daya Shaita, that we don't entertain doubt in any retroactive form, that what you see, what she sees now, is what makes her Tmeah, and no retroactive, suspecting that she had been Tmeah from beforehand. We now ask, well, we see from another case, from the case of Mavui, when you can see the double underline is part of the markings that we were using till now, featuring the subject or the topic of the sources brought in. In the case of Mavui, we see that there is Tuma Limafreya. There is retroactive Tuma, and that will pose a question on Shammai. So the Gemara asks, Umay Shnomi Mavui, what is different about the case of the Nida, where Shammai says, Daya Shaita, she's Tmeya only from this point onwards, and as opposed to the case of Mavui?
Yeah.
The case of Mavui is now featured in this Tanaic source. Disnan, Hasheretz Shenimsa B'movui. Hasheretz is an animal, a creature that, when it's dead, communicates tuma. So a dead Sheretz was found in a Movui. Movui is an alleyway. Metame Lemafreya. It will cause someone who had contact with it to be tome retroactively. Ad Shiyomar, until you can reach a point in time where the person will say, Bodakti es hamovui hazeh velo hoyo bo sheretz, that I remember checking this mavui and there was no sheretz. O ad shas hakibud, or back in time till the last sweeping. We see a comment in Rashi, Tome Limafreya, Rashi says in the upper third of the commentary, Kol Taros Shinasu B'movui. All Taros, all items that need to be Tohor, that were processed in the Movui, are suspect of having come into contact with this Sheretz that was now found there. Ad Shiyomar, Rashi continues, Ad Shiyomar Olov, Odom Ba'oisa Hayoim, Bodakti, Vishuv Enu Metame Ma'oisa Yom Ulimafreya. That this idea of retroactive tuma will be till you find a person that can say that I checked this mavui and there was no tuma. So when that person speaks up and he identifies the time that he checked the mavui, so from that point backwards there will be no tuma. But from aval ad osayom hu mitame. But until that point in time, in other words, from the point that you find the sheretz back till the point in time where you find this person that can say he checked the mavui and there was no tuma, so there will be tuma lemafreya. So now the question is asked. Here we see that something suspicious is found, namely the dead sheretz is found, and we are saying that there is retroactive tumah with regard to anything that had come through that mavui until a point in time where it can be said that there was no tumah. So why does Shammai, in the case of the woman, say that when she sees the dam now, that it's only from this point in time onwards that she's tumah, and there is no retroactive tumah? The Gemara answers, Hosam Nami, there in the case of the Mavui, Kevon Diiko Shrotzim Digufei, U Shrotzim Dosume Alma, since there are Shrotzim that are found in the Mavui itself, Gufei means inherent or in the Mavui itself, and there are Shrotzim as well that come from outside the Mavui, Ketarti Lereus Sodomi, it has the feature that we mentioned earlier as having two strikes against it, two weakening or negative features. And as a result of that, the Mavui is a more serious situation, and hence there is retroactive Tumah as opposed to the woman. Vi'i boyas emo, hainu taimo deshamai. Now here we're starting triangle number 2, Roman numeral number 2, and we're going to give the second hesber for Shammai as to why he says daya shaita. Why is it that a woman is tumah only from the point she sees the blood onwards, and nothing, no tumah lemafreya? This is coming on the heels of triangle number 1 that we had seen way back on Daf Beis Omid Aleph, where the reason given for Shammai is that a woman has a status of tahara, and we're coming to break it. So if you're coming to break a status of tahara, we can say she's tumah only from this point onwards, so as to maintain her previous status as Tahora. Here, we have a second hesber for why Shammai says she's Tumea only from this point onwards. Hoyo v'isha margeshes ba'atzma, since a woman feels when the blood is flowing from her, and she hadn't felt that way till this very moment. And therefore, there's no reason to mitama her l'mafreya. The Hillel, who holds that there is Tuma lemafreya, there is retroactive Tuma. What about the fact she feels? Well, he says, Hillel will tell you that it's not definitive. Kisvura hargoshes me raglayim hi. She had a feeling, but she thought it was the feeling of urine as opposed to a blood flow. So we can't rely on the feeling that she has now while the blood is coming out and saying that this is the first time the blood is there. Really, as far as Hillel is concerned, the blood may very well have been accumulating inside of her, and the feeling that she experienced, she thought was something else. Ulashamai ho'iko yeshena. Now you'll notice we have a new marking here. There's a bow tie shape. And under our mivne heading in the outside margin, we have written Sidro shokushois al taimo deshamai. A series of questions that we're going to raise against this explanation of Shammai for why Daya Shaita, and that being because she feels. So the Gemara asks, if you're going to rely on her feeling and say that's why there is no retroactive Tumah, Ho'iko Yeshena, is there not the issue of the sleeping woman that experiences a blood flow while sleeping? And what are you going to say about that? Where does the issue of her feeling come in? So the Gemara says, Yishena Nami, in the case of a sleeping woman, Agav Tzara Misara Midi Dehave Ahargoshes Meraglayim. Just like a person wakes up at night when they have to relieve themselves, when they have to urinate, so too the woman will wake up as soon as the blood flow starts, so that we don't have to suspect that the blood had been accumulating earlier. Question, Vilika Shaita, what about the woman who is an imbecile? The Gemara, and with regard to her, she isn't someone that's not going to react to feelings. She doesn't know what the feeling is. She's an incompetent. The Gemara says, Moide Shammai B'Shaita. And with regard to a woman who's a shoita, Shammai will acknowledge that there is tuma lemafreya, and we will say that she is tamea back until we can say that she had definitely not been tamea. The Gemara asks, Ha kol hanoshim kotoni? the Mishnah said all Nashim Dayon Shaitan, so all would seem to include the Shaita. The Gemara answers, Kol Hanoshim Pikhos, all competent women. Shammai says Daya Shaita, so that the Kol Hanoshim is a reference to all competent women. The Gemara asks the Lisni Noshim, why not then say Noshim without the word Kol, Kol seeming an inclusive expression, and yet we are excluding the Shaita? The Gemara answers, La'afuke mi derebi Eliezer. I need the word kol hanoshim, which is in fact an inclusive expression, to exclude the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, Dom Rebbe Lezer, arba noshim visulo. Rebbe Lezer says there are four types of women that are dayan shaitan, but not no more than those four which he enumerates later in the Masichta. We'll see him later in this perek about his shita about arba noshim dayan shaitan. But our mission is coming to say, no, not you're not limited to those four that he enumerates, but many other women as well. Komash molon kol hanoshim. Hence, our Mishnah comes to the exclusion of the Shita of Rebbe Eliezer, and that's why it says kol hanoshim. Vo'iko aksomim, isn't there the issue of stains? Let's glance at the Rashi. Vo'iko aksomim. A little more than halfway down the Rashi commentary, Horoya Kesem, a woman who notices a blood stain on her garment. The Kaimalon Lekamon, we hold later in the Masechta Metama Lemafrea, the Kesem renders her Tamea retroactively, Ad Shetoymar Bodakti Choluk Ze, Velohoya Boy Kesem, until she can tell us the point in time where she had checked this garment and there had been no stain. Oyad shas kibus, or until the last time it was washed out. V'lo amrinon, we don't say e nofik migufa have margeshes. Had it come from her body, she would have felt it. As you can see, we don't say that because here there is a stain on the garment, and it's not associated with a feeling she had, and yet we are metama lemafreya. So the Gemara continues, Lemo Tnan Ksomim Delokib Shammai. Should we say that the author of this halacha of Ksomim is of stains on garments is not in accordance with Shammai? Amar Abaye Moide Shammai B'Ksomim. Shammai will agree that there is Tuma Lamafreya, there is retroactive Tuma when it comes to blood stains found on garments. And now the explanation, Mai Taimo, why? Is there no why will we say that we have to consider the retroactive possibility of tuma? But Sipor lo nisaska, we're dealing with a woman. She wasn't engaged or involved with birds in terms of shechting birds. So we can't explain the blood on her garment because of her involvement with blood of birds. B'shuk shel tabochim lo'avra, she didn't go through a butcher's marketplace where blood from animals being processed might have spurted onto her garment. Hai dam ehechosi, where did the dam come from, if not from her? So that in such a case, even though she doesn't have a hargosha, but since blood is visible, is on the garment, and we can't explain it away, so we say that it creates tumo lemafreya until the time we can say that there was no kesem on the garment. Now we have a third hesber for Shammai. Hainu tamu de Shammai. This is the reason that Shammai says daya shaita. Im isu da have dam. If there was dam earlier, if there was blood earlier than that which she sees right now, meikora have osi, it would have come out earlier. The Hillel. Hillel's response to that is kosle beisarechem hemiduhu. The body walls of the of that area of her anatomy, that's the kosle beis harechem hemidua, they constrained it, they restricted the blood from flowing out, so that the blood was there, was at that part of her anatomy which we call the beis hachitzon, which would render her tamea. And if you'll ask, well, it would have come out, say no, the body wall pressures kept it in. V'shamai kosle beis harechem Shammai, who says that blood will come out, when she sees it, that's the first time it's coming out. He says, Kosle beserechem lo mukmidam. The body walls at that point wouldn't withhold the blood from coming out. So if it didn't come out before, it wasn't there. Question. Mishameshes b'moch ma'ikol ha'meimar. What about a woman that uses for her intimacy a moch? A moch is absorbent material, like cotton, compressed cotton, that she inserts into her birth canal, which will absorb the man's zera, the man's seed, so as to enable her to not become pregnant. Now, since that orifice is filled with moch material, moch is the absorbent material, so then what are you going to say about the why would Shammai say there's no tumah l'mafreya? Because here the blood isn't going to come out. Omar Abaye, Moide Shammai Sheshes Moch. Shammai will concede that a woman who is using a moch for her intimacy, that when she sees the blood, we will in fact be suspect that it was there already before and simply withheld in her body through the moch. Rovo Omar, Moch Nami. With regard to a regular moch, the regular substance, absorbent material that a woman puts there, Nami Agavzea Michvitz Kovitz, that through body sweat, it contracts. It's mitkavetz. It contracts, and therefore there is room for the blood to come out. And therefore, as far as Rava is concerned, even Meshameshes B'moch, Shammai would say Daya Shaita. However, Umoide Rava B'moch Dochuk. If, however, there's a moch that's placed in a very compacted way, and it's filling the orifice such that nothing will flow out of it, so Rava will be Moide here that in such a case Shammai will acknowledge Tuma Lemafreya. That even though Rava himself said that of standard moch, you could still say Daya Shaita, but if it's a moch dochuk, then you won't say Daya Shaita. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form, a house with a colored-in tip. On the outside margin, we've explained that this highlights the expression ma'iko, birur mahu ha'evdel. We're going to investigate what is the difference bein hateomim hashonim shenitnu lahasbir Shammai diomar daya shaita. So far, we've seen three triangles, actually three out of four. The fourth we'll see later on Gimel Amud Beis. But what is the difference between the different lishonos or the different hesberim that we have given for Shammai? The Gemara asks, Umai iko bein hani lishni lehech lishno. What is the difference between Hesberim explanations 2 and 3 versus the first explanation that said Hamed isho al cheskosa, that allow her to maintain her status of Tahara until this moment, the moment that she sees the blood? So now at the top of Gimel Amud Beis, we continue. Iko binaihu lemirmi chovis umikve umovui. Do we have the grounds for raising a contradiction, or what we saw back on Daf Beis, between the topics of chovis, mikve, and movui? This was something that we had done, if you'll notice, if you can scroll back to Daf Beis, you'll notice there, when we started our bracketed section on Daf Beis, Omid Beis, the Gemara had said, Barami Chovis Amikva. Let us raise what seems to be a contradiction between the two cases, where in the case of Mikveh, we said that there was Vadai Tumah, and the case of Chovis, where we said there was suffik. There it had to do with being mafrish truma based on a barrel of wine that was set aside and later found to be vinegar. So the Gemara here explains, lehech lishna ika lemirminu. According to the first lashon, namely the lashon of Cheskas Tahara, so there is reason for raising the contradiction. In other words, there was a status, a known status, and why in one case do we treat it as vadai, and the other case do we treat it as suffek? Lahani lishni, according to Hezberim 2 and 3, so there is no reason or there's no basis of raising any question between those cases that we had seen, those Tanaic sources that we had seen featured, the cases of Chovis, Mikveh, and Mavui. We must back up a little bit just to correct an error that we made in our explanation. The Gemara at the top line here says, Ika binayu lemirmi chavis umikve umovui, unlike we said regarding the bracketed section, but rather we had raised in the Gemara three diamond cases starting on daf beis omid beis, where we saw there was retroactive tumah, even though we were dealing with cases that there also had been a status, a given status of things being okay. So that if we explain Shammai, who says Daya Shaita because the woman had a status of Tahara, so why, and therefore no retroactive Tumah, why then in the cases of Mikveh and Chovis and Mavui, where things also had enjoyed a prior status, do we, yes, see retroactive problems? However, according to the Hesber that was given in the second and third triangles, namely that which we saw here on today's Shiur, second triangle was Ishomar Geshes, a woman feels the blood coming, or the third reason, that if there had been blood, it would have come out earlier. So those explanations for Shammai's saying Daya Shaita would not be contested at all by the cases of the three diamond cases that we saw back on Daf Beis Omid Beis and Gimel Omid Aleph, the cases of the Mavui and the Chovis and the Mikveh. We now continue on the third line. Umayiko bein hai lishno lehech lishno. What is the difference between the second lashon, where we said isha margeshes, that was our second triangle case, lehech lishno, the third triangle case of the blood is not withheld. Abaye iko moich. According to Abaye, the issue of moich would be a point of difference. Rashi at the top, according to the explanation for why Shammai says Daya Shaita, because the woman will feel when the blood is coming, even if she uses a moich during her intimacy, she still will feel the blood starting to flow from her body. According to the explanation that if there was blood, it would have come out, if there had been blood earlier, it would have come out earlier. Well, Mishameshes B'moch, since she uses this contraceptive device, Mitame L'mafreya, because it will withhold the blood, so that if there was blood, it would have come out earlier. You can't say that in the case of the moch. LeRava ika moich dochuk. According to Rava, who said that a standard moch will not withhold the blood, however, a compacted moch will withhold the blood. However, as far as Isha Margeshes is concerned, she would feel the beginning of a flow. Tanya ki hai lishno diem iso da havidam meikora have osi. let's read that again. The im isa the havadam meikora hava osi. We have a Tanaic source supporting this explanation, the explanation of number, we call it the third explanation, that had there been blood, it would have come out, and hence, since it's coming out now, there wasn't any earlier. So now, how do we see that hesber in a source? So here we have a Tanaic source. Omar lo Hillel Shammai, iata moide bekupa shenishtamshu bo tarois bezovis zu venimsa sheretz bezovis acheres shetaros horishonos tameos. Hillel, who argues with Shammai, Hillel, who says there is retroactive tumah, says to Shammai, citing an example, he says, wouldn't you concede to me in a case that a carton or a box was used for holding food items. Now, and this box we must describe as a long box. And it was used in one corner, and then they taros were found in one corner of this box, and after the taros were cleared out of the box, a dead sheretz was found in another corner of the box. Don't you concede that the first that the taros that were there originally in the first corner are tameos? And why? Because we say that the sheretz that we found in the other end of the box was there from the beginning, and it had contacted the original taharos, the original items that needed to remain tohor when they were still in the box. Omar lo avol. So Shammai says avol means yes. It's an unusual word, but it means he concedes yes. So that when you find this sheretz later on in the other corner of the box, we concede that the taharos, the food substances that needed to be tohor, that were there originally in the other corner of the box, are in fact viewed as tomei. So that's a retroactive tumah. The discovery of the sheretz now sheds light back on the taros that were there originally. So then we ask, Uma hefrish bein zu lezu. This would be Hillel asking to Shammai, if you acknowledge retroactive tumah in the case of the box and the taros that needed to be kept tohor, what is the difference between there that you acknowledge retroactive tumah and the case of the woman who has a blood sighting that you don't acknowledge retroactive tumah? So Shammai answers, lezu yesh shulayim. Lezu ein lo shulayim. In the case of the box, there is shulayim, a bottom to it. The sheretz that you find now had no way of getting in other than had been there earlier. It didn't come in now. So the fact that it has a bottom, it blocks the access and exit of that sheretz. However, in the case of the woman, Lezu ain lo shulayim. She doesn't have a bottom, so to speak. The body, there's an orifice, and it's open to the world. It's open, and blood will flow out. And if there had been blood earlier, it would have come out earlier. The fact that it's coming out now shows it wasn't there before. So you see from this description of the woman having no bottom, so to speak, shows us the idea of the blood not being withheld, which was what we saw as explanation number 3 for Shammai, who says, Daya Shaita. Continuing in the Gemara, Rava Omar, Taimo de Shammai, Mishum Bitul Puria Viribya. The reason that Shammai says that she's Tmei only from this point onwards is because otherwise people would not procreate. don't forget that a woman who experiences a blood flow is forbidden to her husband. If we take a look at the Rashi, Mipiri of Aribya, the Kevon de Chayshinon Ledam Beves Hachitzon, since we would be worried about Dam having accumulated inside her body toward the exit point, Libo Nokfo, the husband's conscience would bother him, Uporesh Mino Isha, and he wouldn't procreate because he would say that maybe she's about to experience a blood flow and hence she is Tamea. Therefore, Shammai says no retroactive tumah, and that a woman is we're not worried, we're not considering that possibility, and only if she actually sees the blood flow, only from that point onwards would she be forbidden. Tanyo Nami Hochi, the Gemara presents a Tanaic source that supports this explanation for Shammai. In other words, it bears out that this is the basis for Shammai's reasoning. Amar lo Shammai lehillel. Im kein, if you are to get your way and metame lemafreya, bitalta b'nois Yisrael mipirei v'ribyeh. You are canceling the preoccupation of Jewish women from engaging in multiplication. If we're going to impose on them tumah lemafreya, that means that at any moment the woman might say, I might soon have a blood experience, and from now I'm already forbidden. What we've seen in this Gemara, in this last few lines of Gemara, we've seen two Tanaic sources brought in to support two different reasons given for Shammai. So, which reason is the true reason? So, the Gemara explains, Uman detoni hai lishna, according to the fourth approach, ha tanyo ki heich lishna di imiso davida mikora haveosi, that if there was blood, then mikora haveosi would have come out earlier. So that if you are the author of source number of this source which supports reason 4, what do you do with the source that supports reason 3? The Gemara answers, and this answer takes a few lines to develop, as you can see from the long answer marking the tuf for teretz that was encircled and a vertical descending dashed line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. The Gemara answers, Hosam Hillel hu dekotoi. As far as what we saw in source number 3 is really a reflection of Hillel's misunderstanding of Shammai. Hu savar taimo de Shammai, he thought that the reason for Shammai holding Daya Shaita was de'im iso davidam meikora hava'osi. If there was blood, it would have come out earlier. V'komakshi le'kupa. And Hillel, based on his misunderstanding of Shammai, said, well, what about the case of Kupa, where you acknowledge that there is retroactive Tumah? The Omar Le Shammai, and Shammai says, the reason I don't acknowledge retroactive Tumah isn't because of what you thought, that the Dam, if it was there, it would have come out earlier. Taimo Didi, Mishum Bito Piriya Faribya, Ulamai dekotoyis nami, and according to your misunderstanding, dekomakshis kupa, that you raised a question on me from the case of kupa, where I seemingly acknowledged retroactive tuma. Well, lazu yesh lo shulayim, velazu ein lo shulayim. In the case of the kupa, the sheretz had no way of getting in only afterwards, because there was a bottom to the box. Therefore, if the sheretz was found later, it must have been there earlier, as opposed to the woman that has no bottom. So there was nothing to withhold the blood from exiting her. But as we said, that's not Shammai's real reason. all that we saw in source number 3 was Shammai's ability to answer Hillel on his own grounds, on Hillel's own grounds of misunderstanding. According to the one who featured the third Hesber of Shammai's reason for Daya Shaita's being because the blood would not have been withheld. Well, ha tanya ki hech lishna mishum bitul piravivya. Do we not have a Tanaic source that supports the fourth approach, that Shammai's reason for Daya Shaita was the concern of with procreation? The Gemara answers, hochi karmale Hillel l'Shammai. Thusly, Hillel was saying to Shammai, in taimo ko amris dim isud avidam meikora have osi. Granted that you explained that if there had been blood, it would have flown out earlier, and hence your feeling is daya shaita. Miu asei siog lidvorecha. Nevertheless, you should make a fence and a restriction, and yes, impose retroactive tumah. What's the difference here from the rest of the Torah, where we find we make fences, we make stringencies to protect basic Torah law? Why here aren't you making a fence? Omale im kain, if we were to impose a siog, as you are suggesting, then bitalta b'nei Yisrael mipira v'ribya, you're going to deter women from engaging in procreation by imposing retroactive tumah. Hillel's response to that is mipiria v'ribya mikoamina, that which I'm metame l'mafreya. Do you think that I am speaking about retroactive tumah with regard to her marital relations? Litaros hu dekoamina. My imposition of retroactive tumah is only with regard to food items and other matters that need to remain in a state of ritual purity, and I will declare them tomei. But I'm not saying that she's retroactively tamea with regard to allowance for her husband. Vishamai, Shammai's response to that is Litaros nami lo. Even for Taros, I don't accept your idea of imposing retroactive tumah. The im kain, because if we do say that there exists a concept of retroactive tumah, libo nokfo uporish, the husband's conscience will bother him, and he will desist from marital relations. In other words, once a man knows that with regard to some aspect of life there is retroactive tumah, he's going to start to feel uncomfortable and feel a sense of worry, and that maybe she'll be declared tumea l'mafreya, and my relations with her now will retroactively be looked at as relations with a forbidden woman, with a nida, and hence he will withhold from engaging in marital relations, and hence that too, even though Hillel claims his halacha of retroactive tumah was limited to the realm of Taros, that will have repercussions for with regard to marital relations all the same. Before we continue in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin where we have a topic heading, and they'll say, Kupa shenishtamshu bo taros bezovizu v'nimtza sheretz bezoviz acheres. Now this may sound familiar. A reference is made here to a box in which one corner of the box you had used for taros, which we've described in the past as different types of food that need to be maintained in a state of tara, truma, kochim, for example. So in one corner of the box, truma had been stored, and you removed it from there, and you found in another corner a sheretz. Ma din hataros rishonos? What's the halacha regarding the first taros? So we will open up our Gemara with a machloikes Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. We will then say, how can Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan have a machlokis about that when you find that in a Tanaic source that we saw above concerning Kupa, Shammai and Hillel were in agreement with one another that there is retroactive Tumah. The Gemara will then answer that there's still room for Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan to argue, because the circumstances under which Shammai and Hillel were in agreement were different. The Gemara, through our markings, will offer, you can see through the markings, the Gemara offering four explanations as to why, or as to distinguish between the circumstances of the Kupa in which Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing, and the Kupa concerning which Shammai and Hillel were in agreement. So this we've indicated with the diamonds, and you can see this is explained under our Mivneh heading on the outside margin where we feature the diamond, and noting that it goes around the expression ki modu, when is it that they, Hillel and Shammai, agree, and Gemara will point out the different circumstances. Now the Gemara. Itmar, kupa shinishtamshu ba taros bezovizu, a box that was used for holding taros in one corner of it, v'nimtza sheretz bezoviz acheres, and a sheretz was found in another corner. Chizkiyah omar, taharos horishonos tahoros. Chizkiyah says that the original taharos remain tahor. After all, the sheretz was found in a different corner of the box, so I don't have to suspect that the sheretz was there and came into contact with the taros, which was in the first corner of the box. And we should point out also that a dead sheretz is capable of being metama the box, and the box would be then communicate, once the box becomes tumah, it would communicate tumah to the taros. But Chizkiyah says that the taros, the original taros that were emptied out from the box before I discovered the sheretz, those taros are tohor. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, taros horishonos tomeos. The taros that were there originally are tomei. Ostensibly, because the sheretz that you found now had been there at the beginning. And as we just said, the sheretz would have been metama the box, and the box would metama the taros. The Gemara asks, V'ha Shammai v'Hillel modu b'kupa d'taros rishonos tomeos. We saw in the source above that Shammai conceded to Hillel regarding the taros horishonos as being tomeos. You might want to note that we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can see if you align this with the arrow above, that's the point at which in the source Shammai conceded to Hillel regarding retroactive Tumah. So if we see that Shammai conceded to Hillel, so then isn't that a problem for Chizkiyah? The Gemara answers, Ki modu Shammai v'Hillel b'kupo she yesh lo shulayim. Shammai and Hillel are arguing about a box that had a bottom to it, so that even though you discover the sheretz in the box later on, since the box had a bottom to it, so the sheretz must have been there from before. And therefore, the taros are declared tomei retroactively. Ki pligi Chizkiyah of Rabbi Yochanan, the circumstances under which they argue, bekupa she'ein lo shulayim. It's a box that doesn't have a bottom to it. Let's take a look at the Rashi. She'ein lo shulayim, kigon chovis shel eitz, shenitlu shulehem. An example being a barrel made of wood whose bottoms were removed. Ve'yochol nishtamesh ba'orech chalolon kishehein mutolos bekarka. You could flip this vessel on its side so that the the length of it is lying downwards, lying groundwards. Ukshehu ma'ara oison, and when he wants to pour out its contents, hu magbia roish ha'echad u'ma'ara v'akol yotze mimeno. When he pours out its contents, he tilts it to the side, and everything pours out. Therefore, if when you cleared out, when you emptied it out, the taros, the sherets that I find later would not have been there at the time that the taros were there, because between my finding the sherets now and the presence of the taros, well, the taros were all spilled out. And hence the sherets, in order to be in the box now, must have come in later. But that's, we're able to say that because the box has no shulayim, and when you poured everything out, everything came out. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section that encloses the lines from here to the second line from the bottom. You can see that we have a vertical dash dotted line to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara, indicating the length of the bracketed section. Following the brackets, the Gemara has the Eboy Asema, Ki Modu Shamai Vihilel, Bekupa Shema Baduka. The Gemara will give us a different answer to how the case of Shamai and Hillel are different than the case concerning which Hillel, the Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan had been arguing. Now that the general structure is visible, let us go over the bracketed section. Ein Lo Shulayim, in describing the Machlokes Chizkiyo and Rabbi Yochanan concerning the Kupa, we said they were arguing about a case of a box that had no bottom, the bottoms were removed. Well, if the bottoms were removed, and as we explained before, that you would pour out its contents by tilting it to the side and everything would fall out, then my taimo de Rabbi Yochanan, why would Rabbi Yochanan say that the original taros are tomei based on my discovery of the sherets right now? But the sherets that I discover now couldn't have been there earlier. Everything was poured out. The Gemara explains on a technical level, ein lo shulayim v'yesh lo oganim. The bottoms of this box have been removed. The two ends of the box were removed, but there is a rim that bends inwards. The Gemara continues, V'hotanya, we have a Tanaic source, Hamadle Asor Dloyim Mayim Boze Acharze. A person is drawing 10 pails of water using the same pail, one after the other, 10 pails worth of water. Venimso Sheret Be'echod Mehen, and a Sheret is found in one of the pail drawings, in one of the times the pail is drawn with water. Hu Tome V'kulon Torin. The pail full now is Tomei, but everything before is Tohar. And the reason for that is that we say that the sherets that you find now just fell in. The Omar Resh Lakish Mishum Rabbi Anai Lo Shanu Elo She'en Lo Uganim. Resh Lakish says in the name of Rabbi Anai that is true, that all of the original pailfuls are tohor, in the case where the pail has no rim. Avol yesh lo uganim, if it has a rim, as we said, a rim that bends inwards, if it has a rim, then kulon tamein, all the original pailfuls of water are declared tome. It's true, I'm finding it now, but the sherets must have been withheld in the pail from the beginning. So what do we see here? We have a case of uganim, and we have retroactive tuma. So lemo chizkia les leid Rav Yanai. Should we say that chizkia above that declared tohor when he was arguing with Rabbi Yochanan, and we set up the case of chizkia and Rabbi Yochanan regarding a kupa that has no shulayim, but it does have uganim. So we see a case of it having a rim, and Chizkiyah declaring no retroactive tumah. Here we have this source with the Peilfels and Rav Yanai's explanation that when it has uganim, there is tumah lemafreya. So through our markings, we've also emphasized the yeshlo uganim above, which was the circumstance under Chizkiyah said that even though there are uganim, there will be tahara, there's no retroactive tumah. Here we're describing the pails, if it has uganim, then there is retroactive tumah. So should we say that Chizkiyah, who was metayer, does not hold from Rav Yanai? The Gemara answers, there is a difference between the circumstances of Rav Yanai, who spoke about pailfuls of water, and the circumstances of Chizkiyah, who spoke about a kli full of fruit. The Gemara explains. Maya sharki. Water, when you want to pour it out, it flows. Therefore, you don't have to tilt the pail to a 90 degree angle to make sure all of the water comes out. Even if you tilt it partially, the water will flow out. In other words, you'll get the pail removed from its water content without turning it literally at a 90 degree angle. Hence, the sherets that I find now after several pailfuls have been drawn and poured out may very well have been there earlier. You'll ask, well, why didn't it come out from the, based on the original pourings? Because I never tilted the pail to a 90 degree angle and the rim held the sherets in. Peri, on the other hand, which was Chizkiyah's topic, lo sharki. You're not going to get all the peros out of the receptacle with a rim unless you flip it over to a 90 degree angle. And therefore, whatever was there earlier certainly had come out. The fact that I'm finding a sheretz later on indicates to me that it must have recently fallen in, and therefore no reason for retroactive tumah. Inami, Maya lo kopid olayu, piri kopid olayu. Another distinction may be that in the case of water, a person isn't that concerned with getting every last drop of water out. Hence, he's not going to tilt it on to a 90 degree angle. So it won't be a complete, absolute pouring. Therefore, it could very well be that the rim will withhold the sherets in there. However, peros that are of greater value, and he's makbid on them, he's concerned with getting everything out, you can rest assured, Chizkiyah will tell you, that he will have shaken out the receptacle to make sure every last fruit came out, and thereby overcoming the barrier formed by the rim. And that being the case, the sherets would have come out had it been there earlier. Therefore, if I find a sherets now in this receptacle, it wasn't there earlier. The Iboyasema, another explanation of the Gemara to distinguish between the circumstance of Shammai and Hillel versus Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan. The Iboyasema, ki modu Shammai v'Hillel, bekupo she'eno beduka. Shammai and Hillel, Shammai concedes to Hillel in the case of the box and the retroactive tumah in a case of a box that hadn't been checked originally when they put the taros into the box. Therefore, I won't assume a cheskas tahara. And therefore, there is room for retroactive tumah, and therefore Shammai would concede to Hillel. We continue at the very top of Daf Daled. Ki pligi Chizkiyah v'Rabbi Yochanan. The circumstances of Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan, however, is bekupa beduka. This concerns a box, a receptacle that had been checked originally before anything was put into it. Mor sovar, Chizkiyah, who says there's no retroactive tumah, he says ha botka. It was checked out originally. Therefore, I don't have to assume that the sherets that I find there now was there when the taros was put into the box. Umosavar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Amor, I will suspect true, there was an initial checking before the taros were put in, but im siluk yodoi nofal, with the removal of his hands. In other words, as soon as he finished checking, the sheretz fell into the box, and only after that the taros were put in. The Gemara asks, "V'ha dumyo di'isha katoni." Notice we have a little gimel, little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text with a gimel amid beis indicator. If you go back to Daf Gimel Amud Beis and you scan the page, you'll notice in the upper part of the page an arrow indicating Dalet Amud Aleph. This is pointing to a source in which Hillel was arguing to Shammai regarding Shammai's position about a woman, and he tried to argue from the standpoint or from using the case of a box. So the Gemara asks, is it not so, v'hodumyo di'isha katoni, is it not so that there was a box featured in the argument of Hillel and Shammai? And the box, if you're going to use the box as an analogy to the woman, so the box must have the characteristics of the woman. Otherwise, there would be lack of parallel, and hence Hillel wouldn't raise something of a different nature to argue against Shammai discussing regarding the woman. So it must be that the box in that source is similar to a woman. The box the box in the upper part of Gimel Amud Beis is similar to a woman. In what sense? The Isha Baduka Hi, a woman is constantly checking herself. So you see that in a case of a checked box, because the box, as we just said, must be like the woman, and we know as a fact that a woman is always checking herself in the morning, in the evening, to make sure that in the course of the interim time periods she is tohar, so that everything she handles, all the taros she handles, don't get ruined. So we see the case of a box that is checked. And even so, Shammai acknowledges there, as we saw in that source, that there is retroactive tumah. So that even in a case of a kupa beduka, Shammai and Hillel agree there is retroactive tumah. Well, that would be counter to Chizkiyah's position. Chizkiyah, that we just explained, as saying that in the case, he said there is no retroactive tumah in the case of a kupa beduka. The Gemara answers, Kevon deshchichi ba domim, since with regard to a woman, she has a regular blood flow, it's common. It's common for a woman to experience blood flows. Kishe'eno beduka damya, she is really viewed as something that's eno beduka. The Iboyesema, a third explanation of the difference between the case of Shammai and Hillel, where there was agreement concerning the kupa, versus Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan, where we find them arguing about kupa. The Gemara says, this is diamond number 3, Ki Modu Shammai v'Hillel, where is it that they, Shammai and Hillel, agree for Tumah l'mafreya? Bekupa she'ena mechusa, a box that isn't covered. Being that it's not covered, we would assume then that the sheretz, or we're concerned that the sheretz may very well have entered through the open opening in the box. Ki pligi Chizkiyah v'Rabbi Yochanan, the basis or the circumstance in which Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing, where Chizkiyah says there is no retroactive tumah, that's bekupa mechusa. It's a covered receptacle. Well, mechusa hechi nofal, if it's covered, then how could the sheretz ever get in? Answer, kegoin shetashmisho ayadei kisui. The use of the receptacle is through opening and closing the lid. And therefore, when the lid was removed, it's at that point that the sheretz could get in. Let's take a look at the Rashi. When he wants to put something into the receptacle or remove something, megalu mechasa oisa, he exposes it and then covers it up. Hilko chizkiyos sovar, kolzman shataros besocha, as long as the taros were in the box, nizhar ba v'kisa, he was careful and made sure it was covered. V'hashto le'achar shenitlu mimena, and now, once the taros were removed, hisiach daito mi shmirasa. He no longer was concentrating or concerned with caring for the box. Falon hizal lechasosan, wasn't careful in recovering it. The nafal, and now it fell in. For Yochanan Savar, Chayshinon Shema, Kishegila, Lishtamesh Ba, Ba'oid Shataros Besocha, Nofal. Rabbi Yochanan is, on the other hand, is concerned that when he exposed the box, while the Taros was still in there, the Sheretz fell in. So the Gemara continues with a question, Vahod Dumyo di Isha Katani. Is it not so that the case of the kupa was featured in the same context as the woman? And we saw this in the source on Daf Gimel Amud Beis in the upper part, as we saw in the previous section of the Gemara, where a kupa is taught in comparison to a woman. The isha mechusahi, a woman is covered. Woman is a closed entity. Nothing is going to get into her from some outside source. And even so, even though she's mechuse, we saw Shammai agreeing to Hillel that there is tumah lemafreya. So is that not a problem for Chizkiya that said in the case of mechuse there is no tumah lemafreya? The Gemara answers, kevan deshchichi ba'damim. True, things aren't getting into the woman from an outside source, but the woman produces blood, and it comes out on a regular basis. Kishein mechusadamya, because of the frequency of the blood coming from the woman, she is viewed as an open entity, figuratively speaking, but viewed with just like an open entity is susceptible to tuma, so too the woman is susceptible or suspect of tuma. V'iboyesema, a fourth distinction between Shammai Hillel versus Chizkiya Rabbi Yochanan and their respective kupas. Ki modu Shammai v'Hillel bezovis kupa. Shammai and Hillel are arguing regarding the corners of a box, where the issue of a corner is a corner. In one corner taros were stored, and in the other corner of the box a sheretz was discovered. So since you're within within that utensil, I will assume that the sheretz was there at the time of the original taros being stored in there. And hence, the sheretz was mitama the box, and the box would be mitama the taros. Ki pligi chizki of Rabbi Yochanan, the argument concerning chizki and Rabbi Yochanan has nothing to do with two corners of a box, but rather bezovis bias. It's dealing with different corners of a house. This will be explained momentarily. The Gemara asks, how can you say that different corners of a house are there? Machlokis v'ol kupa komar. We have a little star to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara indicating Gimel Amud Beis. If you look back to Gimel Amud Beis and you find the star, you will see that the Achlokis Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan was introduced by the case of kupa, not house. So the Gemara explains, Hochi Ka'omar. The case of Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan is to be understood thusly. Kupa shenishtamshu bo taros bezovis bayis zu, a box that was used to hold taros in one corner of the house. Vitiltaluha bezovis acheres, and then you carried the box to a different corner of the house. And you carried it to another corner of the house after after he emptied out the taras. And then the empty box, in the empty box found, you found in the empty box when you were in the second corner of the house, the opposite corner of the house, now you found a sheretz. The nimtza sheretz bezavas acheres. Chizkiyah savar, Chizkiyah is of the opinion, lo machzikin and tumah mimokom lemokom. I'm not going to assume tumah from one area to another area, namely, true, I see tuma in this corner of the house, but I'm not going to assume to say that this tuma was also in the box when it was in the first corner of the house while the taros was still there. Rabbi Yochanan Savar Machzikinon, just like the sheretz is found in the box when it's in this corner, I'm going to assume it was in the box when it was in the previous corner of the house with the taros still in it. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.